Hallelujah. Well, bless God. I want to share with you this morning. My intent is not to be long. So I want to share with you from the subject. Forgiveness allows you to move forward. Forgiveness allows you to move forward. For those of you all that were expecting the traditional Easter service or Easter sermon, the children preached it. I hope you got it. You know, I let my associate ministers handle that this morning. Hallelujah. So they done a wonderful job. I thank God for them. Amen. Hallelujah. So forgiveness allows you to move forward. Now, I want to talk just for a moment from the subject matter revolving around forgiveness. It is a unique and strange thing sometimes to us as people when you talk about forgiveness. For instance, go with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And while you're turning now, just talk a little bit so you understand where I'm going and what I'm doing here. You know, we are very adamant about being forgiven. You know, when somebody, we want people's forgiveness and so on and so forth. But I want to just submit a little something to you today. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and Jesus is speaking and he's teaching the disciples literally how to pray. They have seen Jesus do some remarkable things. He speaks to a tree. The tree, it literally dries up from the roots. And they are bewildered. They're blown away. They're astonished at how he did this. And so Jesus says in Mark 11 and 22, he says, you know, have faith in God. He begins to explain to them the process of how to do this. Then he goes on to tell them, you know, that literally you can do this same thing. But then he begins to talk a little bit more about how to do it. So Jesus says, verse 25, when you stand praying. So when you get ready to pray, when you start off, he says, forgive. You know, it's amazing. And Jesus is talking about prayer. The first thing he says is forgive. You know the first thing that we ask in prayer? God, forgive us. That ain't where he teaches prayer, though. He says the first thing you need to do is forgive. So, and he says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now, an interesting thing about prayer is we going to run across some people that we have aught against. Because that, I don't have time to deal with that, but if for those of us that would be here on the 6th, I'm going to deal with some stuff, because you have to understand one of the tactics from the enemy is to make sure you have opportunities for all. So that's why Jesus says, when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any. It's if, because it's conditional, because you don't have to have aught. I need to stay right there. It says if, because you don't have to have all. But if you do, this is the way to handle it. So it says, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. So wait a minute. So our release depends upon our willingness to release others. Let me say that again. My release depends upon my willingness to release others. Your release depends upon your willingness to release others. Look at verse 26. But if you do not forgive, okay, wait a minute, it's still a choice. Forgiveness, he's not making you forgive. But if you do not forgive, since it's your choice, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Maybe I should do my point number one now, right? My point number one, I said forgiveness allows us to move forward. That's my subject. My point number one is, who's really holding up our progress? Who's really holding up our progress? You know, everybody want to get somewhere. Everybody got things to do. Everybody's trying to achieve things. Who's really holding up your progress? Look at verse 26 again. But if you do not forgive, ain't nobody in this conversation or this dialogue here but you and God. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So the hindrance to receiving forgiveness is our willingness to give forgiveness. Can you give what you want? Well, y'all stay with me for a minute. I only got 3 points and you already heard number one. I'm about to do number two. So just stay with me. Because sometimes our unwillingness to forgive other people is the hindrance. It's the watch this. It's the hindrance to your breakthrough. It's the hindrance to your healing. It's the hindrance to you moving forward in what God has for you. Number two, our forgiveness of others requires a reference point. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they done to me. Can you believe if I told you what they done? You just wouldn't. You know, and I do. I look at some things in life. I look at, that someone told a story one time of this lady, and this guy had shot and killed her son. And the judge was standing there to sentence the guy. And he asked the woman, he says, "What would you have me to do to him?" She says, "I forgive him. And I want him to become my son." She loved him back into a right relationship. But what's your reference point to do something like that? I mean, when you see people who are able to forgive so much, such a terrible loss, what is the reference point that would make them do something like that? People that have been abused, whether it's verbally, physically, sexually, or whatever, how can they possibly forgive somebody of so much? See, you got to have a reference point. And most of us that sit and say stuff like, "I just can't forgive them," because you don't have a reference point. So, our forgiveness of others requires a reference point. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger." Oh, I'm sorry. This is written to saints. Let all the bitterness, all the wrath, the anger, the clamor. That's when you talk. You know, you want to say stuff bad about folk. And evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Sometimes the intent ain't good. I don't care if you run off a cliff. Yeah, see, sometimes the intent ain't good. We don't care. Okay, now, verse 30, you see that. Now, look at verse 32. And now look at this. "And be ye kind one to another." What? Tenderhearted. And on top of you being kind to one another and being tenderhearted, I want you to forgive one another. You know, the only reason you can possibly have for forgiving one another is that the one another's do something. I'll give you a moment to fix that up. The reason we are to forgive the one another's is because the one another's are going to do something. So if you're waiting to find a place where all the one another's don't do nothing, there is no such place. Not on this earth. So you've been given the ability to make a choice to forgive. So now, forgiving one another, but wait a minute. Our forgiveness of others requires a reference point. Look at this. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. So you mean to tell me, watch this. In order for me to forgive the one another's, it's really impossible if I don't have a reference point. Right. I just can't do it. I mean, you know, some of us, we got grudges today. Yeah, I know you look wonderful on this precious Easter Sunday. You smell good, you look good, you feeling good. But you know, really, the reality on the inside. You know, if I could just look and call their name. You know how you can be in a conversation and somebody say, hey, when the last time you seen such and such? Whole conversation changed. I was doing all right until you mentioned their name. You was carrying something. You was carrying a grudge. That person didn't know that. They just thought they would bring it up. You having a wonderful day. You sitting down at a beautiful lunch. You listen to the birds chirping. Then all of a sudden, they walk past. Can I get my ticket? I'm ready to go now. I ain't know they was in the restaurant. See, it ought not to be like that. That's why forgiving one another, but you got to have a reference point. But it's impossible to do that without a reference point. Can I show you something? Just in the text here. It says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know even God had a reference point for forgiving us? Even God has a reference point for forgiving us. All right. It ain't because you look all good. All right, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Let me show you God's reference point here. The Bible says, Luke 23, verse 33. It says, when they were come to the place, now the place is Calvary. That's the place. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Luke chapter 23, verse 33, you there? Yes. Well, some of y'all there, some of y'all not. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Yes, sir. All these electronic gadgets, y'all supposed to be like, bam, and you there. Ain't no pages. There you go, Donald, see that? Traditional, just flip the pages. Hallelujah. See, now, if you got one of them new Bibles, your page is still stuck together. You got to break it in. We know why it's taking you longer. Hallelujah. You got that Easter Bible out. There you go. Oh, hallelujah. We know. Secret is out now. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. It's all right. Thank God for the Easter Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. The scripture reads, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary. Now, so here's the place, and the place is Calvary. Yes, sir. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So now, the place that God gets his reference point to forgive us is Calvary. Now, we need to understand some things about Calvary. First and foremost, is Jesus is there. Yes, sir. He is there innocently. Yes, sir. He is there without a, okay, let's do it like this. For all of us who say that kind of stuff, well, Pastor, you don't understand, or somebody can't understand why you're forgiving folk and all of this other stuff. First off, Jesus is there because he was betrayed. Maybe you in your situation because somebody betrayed you. You trusted them to do you right. They were a confidant. They were supposed to take care of the secrets that you shared with them in confidence. And lo and behold, they used that very thing against you. Jesus was there because he was betrayed. Well, maybe you're in a situation or circumstance right now because somebody lied on you. Somebody, they got together and they conspired, they lied, they told stuff that just wasn't true, and you didn't have a chance to clear your name. Jesus is there at the place called Calvary because some folk lied. They lied. The Bible says that they got false witnesses together and they couldn't even get their lies straight. So Jesus understands what it's like to be in predicaments like that. Or maybe you find yourself, you know, Jesus is in Calvary, and Calvary was the place that they took the serious criminals. It was capital punishment. This wasn't what they give you just a little spank on the hand and send you out. You were a capital criminal. You were deserving of capital punishment. Right. So now Jesus is getting an extreme sentence and he's innocent. So maybe you dealing with being unjustly implicated for something that you really weren't even guilty of. Jesus knows what that's like. So at the place called Calvary, all of this is transpiring. Then can we put it on? Can we put on top of it? You there carrying somebody else's sin. Have you ever been in a place where somebody give you something, they tell you something, they share something, but all of a sudden you get accused for it? You didn't do it, but you're bearing the brunt of it. Jesus knows what that's like. So now let's just go back to the reference point. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors. In other words, two people on the side of Jesus, the left hand and the right hand, are guilty. But he ain't. You ever get sometimes caught up with folks that's guilty? But you not. I didn't do it. Well, you was with them, you know, but I didn't do it. Sometimes that don't matter. People just look at you and they count you the same as everybody else. Look at verse 34. Then said Jesus, in the midst of all of this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast his lot. You know, so in the midst of all of this, in the worst situation ever, you know what Jesus said? Forgive him. Now wait, can I share something with you? Remember, forgiveness is a choice. Yes. Let me share something with you the Lord shared with me this morning. Listen to this. Forgiveness takes place on the cross, not on the throne. What do you mean, Pastor? If any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, can I just call it like it is? When folks are getting on your nerves and doing you wrong, you're experiencing the cross. Now it's your choice to forgive them from the cross. Not when you get things the way you want to. Not when everything work out and you see them go down. Well, Lord, I can't wait till when they see what I'm going to become, then I'll forgive them so they can bow at my feet. No, you forgiveness takes place on the cross, where you look vulnerable, where you look defeated, where it look like ain't nothing working out for you. It takes place on the cross, not on the throne. We waiting on throne experiences. We waiting on till we could, yeah, look at me now. I told you not to mess with me. No, what about when you hanging on your cross? What about when you looking guilty? What about when it's looking like your fault to everybody and you can't explain nothing? Can you simply say like Jesus did, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, all of this forgiveness stuff. Well, I understand. You know why? Because we often struggle with forgiveness with others simply because of this. Because we are more concerned with what happened to us instead of what happened for us. See, we caught up on, look what they done to me. Look what they done to me. How about what they done? What he done for you? See, the enemy wants you to focus on what was done to you instead of what was done for you. Go with me to John chapter 3. I'm almost done. John chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the scripture let us know that Jesus had to be lifted up. Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what was done for us, and it trumps everything that has been or ever will be done to us. But the enemy wants us to focus on what's done to us instead of what's done for us. Point number three, as I prepare to close. So number one, we looked at Let me review right quick, okay? Who's really hindering your progress? We all trying to move forward. Who's really hindering our progress? Number two, our forgiveness requires a point of reference. We need a reference point to forgive people. If you don't have a reference point, it's going to be hard to impossible for you to forgive people. Even God himself had a reference point in forgiving us. Thirdly and finally, God's forgiveness of our sins has provided us with a way to move forward if we want it. God's forgiveness of our sins has provided us with a way to move forward if we want it. It's available. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to do verses 3 and 4. Because, see, originally I was talking to you about our ability to forgive other people and us having a reference point, and that ability or inability would be our hindrance. But I want to share something with you as I close to maybe help you see this a little better. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." And verse 4, look at this. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The apostle Paul is saying, I'm going to give you what I got. I'm going to give you what I use to make it. So we ain't preaching another gospel. This ain't something that somebody has found somewhere. This ain't something that somebody done dug up from 500 years ago or whatever. We're talking about the gospel that the early church used. We're talking about the only gospel that will change our lives. The fact that Christ himself, he died, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. And that's what the apostle says. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you the reference point. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says very simply, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody has messed up. We all are guilty. Let me do it another way. God's reference point for forgiving us is not our good works or our accomplishments. Amen. Because all of us are guilty. Amen. You weren't born on the right side of the tracks because there is no right side. Because folks on the other side, they think that you're on the right side. There's so many things that we think, if I was born here, if I'd have had that, if I'd have did this, you know what? What you need is Christ. He's the one who makes the difference. He's the one who makes the difference. Yes, sir. Romans 6 and 23. I'm almost finished. Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God is available to us through Christ Jesus. It's available, but it's a gift. If you don't choose to take it, it doesn't negate it being a gift. It just means you don't get the benefit of having the gift. And finally, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The scriptures declare that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, the amazing thing here is these are all choices. No one can prevent you from doing this except you. If you recognize that Jesus, according to the scriptures, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. The Bible says if you can simply confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you can be saved. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Or you can let everything that's happening in this life beat you down, keep you occupied, and keep your attention on other things that will not matter in eternity. That's right. But it doesn't mean the gift was not given. Look at verse 10, and I close with this. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In other words, with your heart, what you believe is going to result in righteousness. And then with your mouth, confession is made. The word unto means result, resulting in salvation. What I believed in my heart resulted in righteousness. Not my deeds, not where I was born, not how much money I had, but what I believed in my heart resulted in righteousness with God. And then because I believed it in my heart, I spoke it out of my mouth and it resulted in my salvation. It's as simple as that. It's not hidden, it's not a secret, but it's up to you to comply with the conditions of receiving the gift. The gift is none other than the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf. You're not getting into heaven any other way. All of these other things, they don't matter. If you want to spend eternity with God and not in hell that was created for the devil and his angels, the only way to get there is by you confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead so that you would be saved. That's the way this works. It's not about church attendance. It's not about, my grandmama, she used to. That ain't going to matter. Hebrews 9:27 said it's appointed unto man once to die. In other words, each one man. Then the judgment. Each one man stands before judgment for themselves. What your ancestors did, who your mama was, she was the queen mother of the church. That ain't going to matter now. Because Jesus is giving you a choice. When he hung on that cross, when he hung there bleeding for you and I, it was up to us to accept that. Some people say, well, that's just, a historical fact. No, it's beyond just a historical fact. It was the Son of God. Yes, history actually records the crucifixion. But beyond history recording it, God bears witness to it. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? I ain't seen no scientific evidence. Let me tell you about scientific evidence. When I was lost, Jesus saved me. Nobody else could do that. When I was crazy in my mind, not knowing whether I was coming or going, I remember when I was walking. I was in the Marine Corps in the Philippines, and I told this story before. I remember sitting one time, and I was in the club. Yes, I've been to the club before. Hallelujah, glory to God. I remember sitting there with my drink on this side. I don't even know, probably wasn't even alcoholic because I didn't care too much for a whole bunch of stuff. But anyway, I was sitting there in the club. And I mean, music is rocking. You got to understand. Well, never mind. You don't need to understand. But anyway, music rocking. I mean, it's just boom. I mean, great big old speakers in the corner. Just boom, boom, boom. Noise everywhere. Folks dancing all on the floor. And I'm just sitting down. And I remember I heard a voice that said, Daryl, when you going to get your life right? Wow. See, I don't see, as loud as the music was, I heard the voice clearly. See, the voice didn't come from the outside. God didn't have a problem dealing with the volume on the outside. And I remember, and you can say, well, maybe you was just high or something. You say what you want to say. I'm telling you my story. I remember sitting there, and he said, Daryl, when are you going to get your life right? And this was my response. Now, we in the club. I'm just sitting there. This is my response. I said, Lord, not now. So it wasn't like I didn't know who was talking. Lord, not now. I'm trying to have fun. That's what I said. And I remember getting up, walking down the sidewalk, going back. And I'm trying to put all of this together on what's happening. Then I remember being in the Marine Corps in the top shape of my life, able to do crazy stuff. And you know why I would get like that? Because I was scared to go to sleep at night. Because I knew I had to get exhausted so I wouldn't lay in my bed and think about where I would spend all eternity if I didn't get saved. Now you could say, well, who witnessed to you? I'm telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I heard. And I just said, Lord, I wanted to do right. I really did. I would treat people right, because my conscience would beat me down if I didn't. So I was raised right. My grandparents raised me, and you know, when older people raise you, they raise you a certain way. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I was raised right. I knew to open the car door for the woman and let her get in there, but I was still a sinner. I just want you to know I was still a sinner. My package might have looked a little better on the outside, but on the inside, it was still filled with garbage. It was still dead. It was still unrenewed. It was still outside of the will of God. Sure, I may not take your purse, but that didn't mean that I wasn't a dog still. And I remember when God, I just said, Lord, I didn't say Lord because I was there, and I just couldn't, I couldn't rest. I couldn't rest. I would literally do everything that day. So I would be, when I went to sleep, I was asleep. Don't bother me because I don't want to think about it. The thought, where will you spend eternity if your eyes don't open again? It was too scary to me. I could run and be in all kind of shape and lift weights and all of this. But where will you spend eternity? We're walking around with 5% body fat. Oh, yeah, but where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Then I remember getting out, and I came to North Carolina to go to school, and I remember I was working on this job. See, God, you know, so some of y'all, you think you just here by accident? Your being here is not by accident. God predetermined you to be here today. This moment right now. I remember being on a job, and I'm from Michigan. I'm being on a job down here in North Carolina, and this woman on the job, she came up to me, and she looked at me. She said, what do you worship at? Not where you go to church. She said, what do you worship at? And I couldn't even answer. See, I didn't know then what I know now. But the Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when she said, where do you worship at? I had no response. Because I wasn't a worshiper. And I remember I couldn't shake that. I said, man, nobody ever asked me, what do I worship at? It's just where you go to church. And you know how we do. We throw up some name we ain't been to. And we still trying. What's the address again? Honey, what's that street the church on? Now, you know you don't go there. So when they say, what church is real easy to, well, you know so-and-so. Then we throw out a couple names. I know a couple people in the church. So, yeah, you know they go there. But, okay. What will you worship at? See, because now it's an intimate relationship. And I found myself at a lack of words because I wasn't worshiping. Every head bowed, eyes are closed. Enough of my story. That's my scientific proof that on July 5th, 1987, I was in a church sitting in pews. And I remember that same voice that I had heard. It said, Daryl, when you go get your life right. I remember having sat there with my cousin. I could see it now. Plain as day. I remember sitting there with him. We were next to each other. Can I be honest? I came to church for the wrong reasons. Yes. Yes. You know, some women had told us, they said, listen, we got some beautiful young ladies in our church. And I said, I'll be there. Was sitting right up in there. But somewhere along in the service, I forgot who was there. Somewhere along in the service, people didn't matter no more. And there was a moment where everybody else faded away. And I heard the altar call, but I heard beyond the altar call, Daryl, in essence, this was the time. Now you need to come. And I remember getting up out of my seat. I don't remember walking down to the altar, but I remember from my seat, I got up. And the next thing I remember, I was at the altar. Because all I knew was time. Yes. Tired of running. You know, old people used to say, you know, you're running from the Lord. I didn't know who I was running from. I was just running. Yes. I was running because I was tired. I was running because my life was just messed up. I didn't have direction. I didn't have guidance. Well, did you know what you want to be? Oh, listen, what you want to be and who you're created to be may not always be the same. The only way you can find out what you were created to be is getting back with the Creator. And I found myself sitting there responding to what I was hearing. Not what I was hearing just audibly, but what I was hearing from the inside, saying, Daryl, this is the time. There was a call that I couldn't explain with words. This ain't a call to preach. This is a call of God on your life. It's you being called back home. It's you being called to your rightful place in God. It's you understanding that there's more to you than what you see with your natural eye. All of this is part of what's transpiring on the inside. And when I was there at that altar call, I said, this is it. I didn't wait on my cousin. He was sitting there with me. I didn't wait to see who else was coming. I said, this is it for me. Lord, if you can take this life of mine and you can find anything to do with it, here it is. I just knew this was it. Maybe some of you are here today and you have found yourself. Sure, you have faked it in the sense that you may, you know, we got a way of looking good in front of people. We know how to say the right things to appease other people. But I'm talking about, what do you say to a holy God who knows you? Who's calling you back to himself? Maybe you're here today and you recognize, you know what? My life has been full of running too. I've been running from the real call that's on my life. I've been running and I've not submitted to really what God wants to do in my life. Sure, I've been on the fringes. I've said the things that I need to say. I know how to play the game. But this just ain't right. It just ain't what God wants from me. This is your day to get it right. This is not by accident you being here. Sure, you may say somebody invited you because it's Easter. I want you to know something. From all eternity, God invited you. He just used this person to confirm it. So now that you're here, and now that the gift of God has been extended to you, it's up to you to receive it. If you can simply believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead, you could be saved. Because what you believe in your heart will result in righteousness. It ain't a church thing. It's a Christ relationship thing. And what you say with your mouth will result in your salvation. If you're here while every head is bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, well, preacher, I need prayer. I need prayer. You don't know. I'm going through some things in my life right now. It has been a season of turmoil. I have found myself dealing with so many different things. Well, listen, I want you to know, I serve the God who answers prayer. He hears and answers prayer. I don't care what your situation is. It's not too hard for my God. Well, how can you say that? Because I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it in my life. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. He tells me to call. He's telling you to call on him. If you're here today and you listen, you know, I need prayer or I want to be saved. I want you to get up and come and meet us here at this altar. You know that God needs to do, you know that you need God to do something in your life. Then why don't you act on it today? Who's the real hindrance of you moving forward? Where have you found yourself at now? Maybe it was God using this situation, this circumstance, to bring you to a point of realization that you need him. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Would you give your child for somebody else's life? God did, and you, the somebody else. Now, will you just sit on him and say, oh, well, you know, no big deal? Or will you recognize and say, that was the gift for me, and I'm not going to allow this to pass me by. This is my opportunity. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're here and you need prayer, you know you need God to do something in your life. Or maybe you're in a backslidden situation. You say, well preacher, I've gotten saved before, but I faded away. I walked away from the things of God. I got back out in the world. I got involved in stuff. Well, this is the place to come back. This is the place to come and rededicate your life to the Lord. Because the resurrection changes everything. If you're here, don't be like me, afraid to go to sleep every night. Why don't you change that? The Bible says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I tell you, I ain't afraid to go to sleep now. You don't have to be either. He says he'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You could rest and eat in the presence of your enemies. That's the kind of God I'm talking about serving. How about it? Listen, I want to do this because, listen, I'm not doing this to prod anyone in one sense, but I am concerned about your soul. I don't believe in church games. I don't believe in all of this funny stuff. What I'm saying to you is truth. That's why I put the scriptures up there so you can see them. This ain't something I'm just saying off the top of my head. It's written. And Jesus is his word. What he says is true. If Jesus lied, he couldn't have gotten up. That's why Buddha's still in the ground. That's why Elijah's still in the ground. That's why folks are turning the face a certain way when they pray. Because they're praying to a tomb full of bones. We have an empty tomb. We have an empty tomb. Because Jesus is not dead. He's alive. A dead God can't help you. But I serve a risen Savior. If you're here and you need prayer, I'm going to ask you to come. My last appeal. If you're here and you need Christ and you're willing to say, listen, I'm going to submit my life to him. I'm going to ask you to come up here and we'll pray for you. And we'll believe God. We'll stand in agreement with you. And I believe God's going to do some wonderful things today, this very day. He just needs you to believe him, to trust him enough. That's simply all, just to trust him enough. Is there anyone? Ms. Lancaster, I know you're not trying to come up here. Now, I'll come back there to you. I know you're not trying to come up. I'll come back there to you. You fine, right there. You stay right there. I will come to you. I know her, y'all. I can do that. The rest of y'all, you need to come. Because for you, you need to come because it's your faith. Now, if she's going to stand and was willing to come up here and she's struggling with some physical challenges and you got you in your right mind, in your right body, and somebody's saying, do you need something from God? And you sitting in your seat. You know what Jesus said about something like that? He says, listen. He said, it's going to be worse for certain people than it will be for others because they had opportunities to do things that other people didn't, and they sit in their disbelief. If you need God to do something for you today, and you are honest enough to say, Lord, that's me. I want you to meet us here at this altar. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.